first chapter of Revelation. Now I'm going to read a few verses. I'm going to start reading at verse number 8. Verse number 8 of chapter 1. "And I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake unto me, with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white with like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." That's a wonderful, wonderful portion of scripture. You find that in verse 19, Jesus told them, write the things which thou hast seen. Chapter 1 is those things. That's the things he's seen. And then he says, and the things which are, that's in chapter 2 and chapter 3. That's the seven churches. And then, as you see, he says, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now, the seven churches, I'm just going to name them once again. And we find in verse number 11, we find that Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And then, of course, he said, and I'm going to turn over to chapter 3, the very last verse of chapter 3, and we're going to see what he says to every single church. I'm reading this last one because it's the last church that he says it to. But he says it to each and every church, each and every one. And in verse number 22, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, he's not talking to someone that maybe doesn't have an ear. He's saying to you, if you have an ear, please listen and hear what I've said, what the Spirit has said to every church. That's important. It's very important. He repeats that to every single church. Okay? That's very, very, very important because he's saying what the Spirit saith. what the Spirit saith. And of course, the Spirit is going to use the Word of God. Okay? And it's what the Spirit saith to every church. All right? You know, if he had written one to us, he would have said the same thing to us. He would have said the very same thing. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so he was writing here to the churches. Now, in chapter 4, we're going to read the first verse in chapter 4. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. I might just make mention before we go any farther, there's four doors mentioned in heaven. And the first one is in chapter 3, verse number 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Here is the door of opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is an opportunity for men to serve the Lord. And that's in the 8th verse of chapter 3. And then in chapter 3, verse number 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Here's a door to a person's heart. He said, if you'll invite me in, he says, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. That's to a person's heart. And then in chapter 4, verse number 1, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be hereafter. And once again, this is the door of the rapture. This is showing forth after the two chapters, well, three chapters, but the 2 and 3. Then chapter 4 is, he's saying, come up hither. And that then is the door of the rapture. And then over, and I'm going to skip over there real quick to chapter 19. And I'm going to read verse number 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is when he's coming back, and he's going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. Now, I just thought I would mention those, kind of keep in mind the four doors there. Now, let's go back to chapter 4, and let's listen to what he says in that verse number 1. He says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And he says, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. You know, I was thinking about this, and I thought how the Lord called John up to heaven. And I was thinking that, you know, this is the things that are hereafter. Over in verse number 19 of chapter 1, remember, he said, write the things which thou hast seen. Remember, we said, that's chapter 1. That's what he had seen. Then he says, and the things which are, and that is chapter 2 and chapter 3. That's the churches. That's the things that are. And then he says, the things which shall be hereafter. And in verse number 4, he says, you come up here and I'll show you these things which must be hereafter. And he had to give him, I was thinking about that, that maybe that's the main reason he called him to heaven. He wanted him to be sure and get a message from the Lord of the things hereafter. He wanted to make sure that he got those things from the Lord. And I got to thinking how important that is. We must, as preachers, we must get those things from the Lord. Messages must be from the Lord, must be from His Word. Okay? And that's important. That's very, very important that you and I remember that, because the Lord is the only one that can give the future. He's the only one that can do that. So he calls him up. That is a picture of the rapture. Okay? Calls him up, said, come up here, and then I'll show you things that must be hereafter. In chapter 4 on through, you don't see the church on earth. You see the 20 elders that will be sitting in the 24 seats, which I think 12 of those represent the church age, and I believe the other 12 represent the Old Testament age. But anyway, you see those, but they're in heaven. Okay, you don't see them on the earth because the rapture has taken place. Okay, and then he says in verse number 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. John says that he was in the Spirit. He did not go to heaven bodily. He went there spiritually, and God was going to show him these things. And then he says in verse 3, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. You'll notice there, now I'm just going to give you something here. The jasper, which I believe would be more like, you look at your wife's diamond. It would be more like a diamond. And the sardine stone would be a red, like a ruby red. It may even be a ruby, I don't know. But the one that sat upon the throne was like a jasper and a sardine stone, the color. And then also, he says the rainbow, the way I get this is the rainbow is just one color. It's like an emerald. It's like the green. It's a greenish. And I wish I could explain all of this, but I want to tell you something. When you're looking at God, you're looking at Him and all that He is, there is, for as I'm concerned, no way to explain it. It's something that is just beyond comprehension. He's given it to us the very best He knows how, but I really can't imagine what He must have saw. It must have been something tremendous and beautiful, and that rainbow, I would say that green type rainbow that was there, it just must have been something that was beautiful. He describes it here in just a verse. It's amazing. And he does that, I believe, because he can't describe it any better than that. But it's going to be something beautiful, folks. I wish we could understand the beauty of God. He is beautiful. And he's something that I wish I could give it to you. I'll give it to you like John gave it to you. It's like a jasper and a sardine stone, and it's like an emerald that is the rainbow around it. And folks, listen, I'm not explaining it. I'm just telling you it's something wonderful. Okay? Just keep that in mind when you're thinking about God. He could not explain what he looked like. It was just wonderful. Okay? Just keep that in mind. And then he said, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. You'll notice here there was 24 seats. Actually, that word seats is a word that speaks of throne. They was thrones that was set. And the elders was sitting on these thrones round about the great throne, which God was sitting on. Okay? And there again, I said God was sitting on. It's either God the Father, God the Son that was sitting there. And I'll show you why I say that at the end of the chapter. But anyway, he goes on and he says, and he said he saw 24 elders sitting. I told you before that I believe that those 12 of those are representative of the 12 apostles of the church age. And then the other 12 are a 12 of the Old Testament saints. That's my belief. That's what I believe is there. And he says, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. They was clothed in white raiment. The white raiment is the righteousness of the saints. And he says, and then they had on their heads crowns of gold on their heads. Now, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Once again, you see the lightnings and the thunders and the voices. It kind of denotes the fact that there's going to be judgment coming. And that's what we've got. We've got judgment coming. In chapter 6, that judgment begins. Okay? That judgment begins. And then he says in verse number 6, and behold, the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. You'll notice there the 4 beasts, and they had eyes in front and behind. All seeing, okay? And these 4 beasts were very, very, very important. And the first beast was like a lion, showed the strength of a lion. Second beast is like a calf. It was like the endurance of the of a calf, of the beast that just keeps on going. And he says then, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, which speaks of speed, you see. And then the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings. You imagine that was 6 wings? I don't know about you, but I'd probably get them all mixed up, 6 of them. But anyway, be 6 wings. And he tells what he does with them. He says, and the first beast was like a lion, the second beast was like a calf, third beast was like a face of a man, and the fourth beast was as the flying eagle. The 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. I think I got mixed up. You go back into Isaiah, the 6th chapter, is where it tells what they do with those 6 wings. 2 of them, as I remember, they covered their faces. 2 of them, they covered their feet. And 2 of them, they flew with. So all of the depth of that, I'll let you explain it to me. And but anyway, there's you know, precious truths in God's word that is there for us to understand and to know. But these had six wings. I have a feeling these are probably the same beast that was back there in the book of Isaiah, the sixth chapter. And he says in the first beast, let me see, in verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You see, it says they didn't rest. They just kept crying that out over and over and over. Holy, holy, holy. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty is holy. Remember that. When you think about God, think about His holiness. All right? Remember that. Amen? Think about His holiness and how great He is, how wonderful He is. See? And then He said, and Almighty, He said, the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And so there again, you have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyway, in verse number 9, and when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. I'd like you to take notice of something in the scriptures here in chapter 4, chapter 5. What you're finding out is that when you look at God in heaven, you see nothing but glory and honor and praise given to Him. Amen. Now, down here on this earth, you're not always going to find that. You won't always find that. You will find men blaspheming God. And you won't find Him being given honor and praise over and over and over again. But in heaven, that's what you're going to hear forever. Forever. Amen? See, you may not hear that here, but you will there. And when Jesus rules down here, God's people are all going to be praising and honoring and giving glory and honor to Him. See, we must remember that, because you don't hear much of that. You get around Christmas time, you get around Easter, and you don't hear much praise of God. But I want to tell you something, you're going to hear it there. Amen. And it isn't going to be men that's going to be praised and honored. It's going to be God Almighty. It's going to be praised and honored. You agree with that? Sure. Amen. All right. And when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And He said, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, before I read what they were saying, just imagine this. You remember those crowns of gold it said they had on their heads? We're going to take those off and cast them at the feet of the one sitting on the throne. And that's where it belongs. Amen? You see, you and I can't do anything without God's help. And we will cast our crowns from off of our heads at His feet. Amen? See, there's not going to be a lot of men worship. If you want to get in on that, you better do it while you're down here. Amen? because they're not going to be doing that in heaven. We're not going to be worshiping men in heaven. We're going to be worshiping the one who's sitting on the throne, the one that is, was, and is, and is coming again. Amen. So just kind of keep that in mind when you love the Lord and walk with God and serve Him. Remember who you're going to be worshiping and thanking God for when we get to heaven. All right? Now here's what they said. Thou art worthy. Verse number 11. O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Do you know that all things were created for God's sake? He's the one who created them. And it was for His sake that they were created. Amen? Okay? For His sake, they were created. For His honor and glory, they were created. Okay? Now, there again, I hope that just kind of sinks in a little bit, because that's what heaven's going to be like. Amen? That's what heaven's going to be like. And then he goes to chapter 5, and what I'm doing is covering chapter 4 and chapter 5 and just trying to get a little bit of an idea in those two chapters. What happens after the rapture? We're going to go to heaven. We're going to have the judgment seat of Christ. We talked about that one Sunday and discussed that one Sunday. And then we're going to get ready for the tribulation to begin, and we'll do some studying in some of that in chapter 6 probably next week, and anyway we'll just kind of travel on through a little bit, hit a little bit here and hit a little bit there. I'm not going to go through every verse in Book of Revelation. I'm not going to do that, but we're going to kind of show you what's going to happen during the judgment seat here. All right, and in verse number 1 of chapter 5, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side sealed with 7 seals. That's the first 7 seals that's going to be released in chapter 6. And it says, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Who is worthy to do this? Who can open this book and remove those seals? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. They could not look, they could not open them. No man, it says, in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. John said, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. There was no man found on the earth, in heaven, under the earth. No man was found that could do that. Okay? And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the 7 seals thereof. Only he could do it. Only Jesus could open that book, take that book and open it and remove the seals. Only he alone could do that. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. You'll notice there that he said, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns. The seven horns is a sign of power. And it's full power. Seven is complete. It's the complete number. And it's complete, full number. Okay? And then he said, and also he had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And the seven eyes are the all-encompassing, all-knowing, full, completely knowing God Almighty. Amen? You see, that's who he's seeing. And it's the seven, well, he talks about the seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. There is one spirit of God, but it's manifested into the seven eyes and the seven horns to show completeness and full capacity, complete, full, what he is. And so that's what it is showing forth. And then he says, and I beheld, just a minute, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, he said, spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. In verse 7, he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat upon the throne. Now, one of the reasons here that I said this was God sitting on the throne was because someone came and took this book out of his hand. Someone came and took it out of his hand. And this, I believe, was the Lord Jesus Christ. Not going to argue about it. It doesn't matter. It's okay. Whatever God says is true. But anyway, that's why I had said that. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, showing forth that these came from all kinds of people across the world. Okay? All kinds of people. And then he said, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's a promise of God. We're going to reign on the earth with Jesus Christ for 1,000 wonderful years. Okay? And he says, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's a mighty lot of people. Amen. That's a lot of folk. And he said, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now you notice there, he's talking about people there, right? In that verse 12. No, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. No, it's God that's going to be honored and glorified. Amen. It's God Almighty that'll be honored and glorified. You will only find him honored and glorified in heaven as this type of, you know, of language that was used here in the scripture. It's only going to be God Almighty. And then he says, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. We don't, you know, we're just about out of time, but I want to just give you something there in those two verses of Scripture. When the beast gave honor and praise unto the one sitting on the throne, it also caused the 24 elders to fall down and do the same. And what I want to leave with you is this. You and I ought to praise God over and over and over again. We ought to praise God and honor God and give to Him the honor that He deserves. That'll cause other ones to follow through and do the same thing. Okay? That'll cause other ones to praise God and give thanks unto God and honor and praise unto Him. So if we'll do that, I believe that'll please the Lord very, very, very much. Amen. Well, I wish I had more time, but it's up. Father, thank you again today for your grace and goodness and kindness. Thank you for just who you are. You're the great, the true, the living God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.